She's only 18, don't like the Rolling Stone. She took a shortcut to being fully grown. She got that moon ring, her little sister Rose, a smell of Springsteen, a pair of pantyhose. This talking picture show is leaking from a silhouette. She said, my man, you know it's time to get your fingers wet. You hustle busted when you can't afford a cigarette. The last I heard from you were you were screaming,
wrestling's a dirty word to you, isn't it, Vince? Your father built a wrestling company, and you had to have sports entertainment. We had to have sports entertainment. Ha ha ha.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live, your source for news, views, and opinions on everything wrestling, from the big leagues to the local scene. Now, here's James McDonald and Corey Callahan.
The days of summer are upon us, and there's some major heat in the wrestling world. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live, back once again after a little bit of a hiatus, but here once again to inform, educate, and entertain. My name is Corey Callahan, sitting alongside James McDonald. And James, the topic everyone is talking about, CM Punk.
Yes, tonight we have a great show for you all. We'll be talking a little bit about the infamous word shoot in professional wrestling. Now, for those of you out there who don't know what this is, a shoot is something in wrestling that doesn't quite go to plan or just kind of deviates a little bit from the overall script of the show. A perfect example of this will be how Bret Hart got screwed in the Montreal Screwjob. And later on in tonight's Top 5, we'll be bringing you some more great shoots in wrestling history.
Yes, James, I definitely thought this was a welcoming change to a currently stale product. In the business side of things, though, we're going to run down who's the latest to have their hand slapped by the GLAAD organization, who's checking into prison, and the cause of death for Randy Savage has been released.
Also on tonight's show, we've kind of changed up the format of the Tale of the Tape a little bit, so now instead of bringing you a full recap of the latest on Raw, we're going to kind of streamline it a little and just talk a little bit about the topics that's making the wrestling world interesting.
As always, we cover all the happenings going on around the local wrestling scene, running down the results of ECCW's last two shows and preview their next show, which is the return to Port Coquitlam. We are also going to discuss the latest in the ASW, including their upcoming show, the Hope Battle Royal. As always, folks, you can check out www.smacktalkradiolive.com or join in on facebook.com/smacktalkradio.
Right now, let's get the ball rolling with the Tale of the Tape.
It's time for the Tale of the Tape.
All right, James, Tale of the Tape. We're going to switch it up a little bit this time.
Yeah, we're going to a little bit of a new format, like we mentioned earlier. It's just going to be a little bit streamlined, a little bit quicker here, and a little bit more to the point.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking that talking about Monday Night Raw, you know, segment by segment was really working. So
it's almost unique to have your own show dedicated to something like that, really. It's kind of hard to fit it into a 20-minute time slot.
So we're going to try something new. We're going to run down the topics that are making wrestling interesting, as I think we're kind of calling it.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Well, let's jump right into it. CM Punk's promise to leave with the title.
Yeah, this guy's got the internet and the wrestling world in a fury, I tell you.
CM Punk and the WWE have apparently parted ways, as CM Punk's current contract is up, with his last day being July 17th, the day of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Last week on Monday Night Raw, CM Punk did something rarely seen and spoke from the hip, breaking down the wall between backstage and what the public perceives. Let's have a listen.
I'm leaving with the WWE Championship on July 17th, and hell, who knows, maybe I'll go defend it in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor. Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing? The reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone, you're still going to pour money into this company. I'm just a spoke on the wheel. The wheel's going to keep turning, and I understand that. But Vince McMahon's going to make money despite himself. He's a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? It's because he surrounds himself with glad-handing, nonsensical yes-men like John Laurinaitis, who's going to tell him everything that he wants to hear. And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family. Let me tell you a personal story about Vince McMahon, all right? Do we do this whole bully camp?
And it was right about there, James, when they cut CM Punk off and abruptly ended Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, they just went right to black. They didn't have a signature or anything. They just, like, completely cut right off.
And how did you feel about that after you watched that ending to Raw?
Well, I got to be honest with you. When I saw that, my jaw hit the floor. I couldn't believe he was saying some of the things that he was saying. I mean, I haven't seen a promo cut like this in years. It's mm-hmm. probably been a good, I don't know, since Paul Heyman did it, maybe?
Now, for those who don't know, this is considered a shoot promo.
A shoot promo, like we were mentioning earlier. That's right.
So, James, maybe just quickly go over what exactly that is. You kind of briefly touched
on it. A shoot promo is when a wrestler would come out and he would speak something that's not on the script. Or like I mentioned before, he deviates from what he's supposed to say, or he mentions something that he's not supposed to mention, or he generally breaks down kayfabe, which is kind of like the story that the wrestlers have built.
Yeah, there's this barrier of behind the scenes and in front of the scenes
exactly
that the wrestlers are not supposed to cross. There's this line that they're not supposed to cross. And when they do cross that line, they're talking almost in real-life terms and not storyline purposes. And that's what this was. And I got to say, James, like I said in the intro, it was a refreshing change for me.
Yeah, no, it was. You know, if a shoot promo is done correctly, it can really generate a lot of heat and a lot of interest in your program.
It makes people believe that wrestling is believable.
Yeah.
It makes them think that wrestling is real. And in ways, wrestling has its real elements.
Yes.
And by doing these shoot promos, you bring out the realism and you make the fans who know wrestling is fake. You make the hardcore fans, I should say.
Exactly.
You're feeding them something. You're almost giving them something that they didn't think they would hear.
It's that sense of realism that's so hard to come by in the wrestling industry nowadays, with the advent of things like the internet and social media outlets, mm-hmm. where basically every little nugget of information can be looked up at the click of a mouse, right? Mm-hmm. So when something like this happens and it generates actual interest, I think it's a very good thing.
Now, how often would you say, because it was obviously very effective on Monday Night Raw, how often would you actually like to see these shoot promos?
Well, that's the thing, right? A shoot promo, when done correctly, like I said, can generate a lot of interest for you. But when it's done too much, kind of like how it was when Vince Russo was doing a lot of the booking in WCW near the end of its life. I don't know if you remember, but they were doing a lot of shoot promos back mm-hmm. then, like the NWO especially.
Because there was a lot of backstage politics.
Oh, it was just crazy backstage politics. I remember this one specific one where the NWO came out and just like, you know, ripped a strip off of Ric Flair, right? And mm-hmm. it wasn't as effective as, say, the CM Punk promo, because it's, right, it was blurred. When you do it too much, it blurs that line of realism, mm-hmm. right?
Now, what has this done for CM Punk's career?
Oh, this is, leaps and bounds for his career. I think it's got people talking, and that's what you want. As a wrestler, as a performer, you want people talking about you.
What is very interesting about this is the fact that CM Punk is leaving the WWE. So he's busting this shoot promo, basically slandering Vince McMahon and his family, and then he's going
to
be leaving.
Yeah, I mean, that's another reason why the promo was so good, is because it has that tinge of realism to it, right? It's not just something that he was scripted to go out and make look real. There actually is that little bit of... Mm-hmm. Of personal, you know, realism behind what he was saying.
Now, how long, when you were watching that, how long into it were you thinking, or were you wondering, is this real or is this work? Like,
probably when he started getting to the point where he mentioned about Vince McMahon dying, and then saying that, oh, it's going to be taken over, and he insults Triple H. And
I think without question.
That was for me when I started questioning, going, oh man, is he really supposed to be saying this?
The one thing I really like about this segment, and I'm not like condoning shoot promos all the time.
No.
But one thing I do like about this segment is that they basically gave CM Punk a 5-minute window and they said, you do what you want in that 5 minutes.
Here's the ball, you run with it.
I'm not saying that you should say to every wrestler, yes, go ahead and speak your mind and whenever you want out there.
Oh, you can't have that.
But it gave CM Punk that creativity, and it gave him the airspace that he needed to give this promo in a way that people really recognize CM Punk's talent. Because now that he's actually done or completed this, people are like, wow, look at the talent that CM Punk actually has. You know,
well, I've always said CM Punk is talented. Even go back to previous shows and listen to me talking about CM Punk. I've always liked CM Punk. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic in the ring. He's got an excellent character, which he knows how to play to a T. His mic skills are absolutely phenomenal. He can cut a promo second to none almost.
This kind of proves, though, that up until now, the WWE may have been holding him back.
Oh, the WWE is famous for misusing guys who have talent. I mean, you know that, and
yeah,
I know that.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous that you have a guy doing a promo this well and then you're gonna have him leave the company.
Yeah, it's an absolute shame, because now you got a guy who's hot and people are interested and they want to see more of him, and then he's gonna be gone in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out, of course, as you know. Moving on to our next topic, James, it's almost more important than the actual CM Punk promo itself, but everyone had their eyes on the follow-up Raw, which took place the next week. Now, what's interesting about this, of course, is the fact that this week's Raw was actually taped last week, the same night as the CM Punk promo in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, this storyline could have gone a million ways, and it was interesting to see the chairman of the WWE, Vince McMahon, get involved. Here's what happened.
I get it. There's been Hogan, there's been Michaels, there's been Austin. Everyone is replaceable. I get it. But I bust my ass for you. I work myself to the bone for you and this brand, because I'd like to think that this here stands for something. You're so worried. You're so very worried about CM Punk taking this and making it meaningless. He earned the right to face me. And if you just kick him to the curb, you've already made it meaningless.
Where the hell do you think you're going? You're no different than all the rest, you ingrate! All the rest of them walked out on me. You're walking out on me! Wait a minute. I got something.
Now, Vince McMahon and John Cena face-to-face in the ring, actually having a dispute. I think that might be the first time we've ever seen that. I was genuinely interested in that, because you'd seen McMahon and Stone Cold, you've seen McMahon and others in the past, and that to me added to the realism of this whole thing. Do I think Cena really needs to be involved in this whole dispute? I don't know. I don't think so.
I think no. It's just for the program. But the thing that really shocked me was when Cena dropped the belt on the ground. When he actually physically dropped the belt on the ground. Mm-hmm. Now that's a big thing in the wrestling industry. Yeah. Is you don't disgrace the belt in any way, shape, or form.
One thing I was actually hoping for when I was watching this segment was to actually see Vince McMahon almost call Cena ungrateful. I wanted McMahon to get in the face of Cena.
He did call Cena ungrateful.
And Ingray, yeah, I just wanted them to see. I wanted them to like call him out and almost act like I'm Vince McMahon and you're John Cena, and John Cena can end at any moment on my command. Yeah, I didn't really get that vibe.
You didn't get that feeling from that segment.
No, because Cena won the showdown. He won it in the end. He got his match. He convinced McMahon to do what he wanted. That's not the Vince McMahon I remember. I mean, I remember Vince McMahon being the powerhouse of the WWE, and Cena played him.
It's all a work, though.
Of course, but
I mean, McMahon's not going to be played like that unless it's a work.
Of course, but again, we have this. The week before, we have this awesome CM Punk promo, mm-hmm. which is supposed to be incredibly real,
yeah.
and we're all believing it's real, and it could have gone a million ways the next week, and instead, we get a scripted interview, or a scripted confrontation with Cena and McMahon, where McMahon caves into Cena, Cena gets his wish, gets his match at Money in the Bank.
Well, right away, right there, it tells you that the whole promo by CM Punk was a worked shoot anyways, and yes. that there's no chance he's going to win the title at Money in the Bank.
No.
I mean,
we've already discussed that.
Yeah.
Cena versus Rock for the title.
Yep.
At WrestleMania 28.
Yeah, go back a couple shows, people.
There's no way that CM Punk leaves with the title. We all know that. But what makes that even more unbelievable to me now is that if Cena loses, Vince McMahon is going to fire him.
Yeah, no chance of that happening.
See, this is my biggest problem when the WWE has something which is really good and captivates his audience and makes people believe wrestling is real, they always follow it up with a mistake the next week.
That just blows your sense of disbelief, right?
I mean, I was legitimately interested. I mean, you were texting me that night Raw talking about how awesome that promo was.
I'm not kidding you, folks. We were talking about this all week.
But. And now we're like, okay, Cena versus CM Punk.
It's a work. Cena's going over.
Yeah. So I didn't like this follow-up. But
you know what I would like to see? I would like to see CM Punk win at Money in the Bank.
Oh, I would love to see that.
That would be a huge swerve, and that would blow the pants off people and make people's jaws drop. So that for that reason alone, I know WWE is not going to do it.
No. The only way that would ever happen is if CM Punk legitimately was not leaving the WWE.
Yeah.
That's not happening. Apparently, he is leaving the WWE.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
I don't think that CM Punk is for sure gone for good. I think they're just giving him a rest.
Well, that's the next big question. Is he gone for good, or is he only gone for a few months to have a break? Right, that people don't know. That's where the questions are being asked.
I mean, I've read that he's burnt out, and fair enough. I think every wrestler would be burnt out. So when you're in a situation like CM Punk's, when you know you have a value to your name, you can pretty much say, I want a break for a while, and I want to come back. I mean, Jericho's doing it right now.
Yeah.
You know, The Rock has done it. I mean, The Undertaker does it every year.
Well, The Undertaker works, 2 months a year?
Yeah, so this is a rest time for CM Punk, and that's fine. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
You think so? You think he's not actually just completely parting ways?
Well, where is he going to go? Ring of Honor?
He could go anywhere he wants to.
What? How can you turn down the paycheck from the WWE? I mean,
If you're that angry with how you're being treated or how your character is being used, then yeah. Look at Chavo Guerrero. He's turning down the paycheck.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't think we've seen the last of CM Punk by any means.
Personally, I know this is a whole other can of worms that we could open up and talk about for hours, but I really think that the WWE is in a lot more turmoil and a lot more chaos right now than they let on.
Absolutely. You have a top star in the WWE leaving because he's burnt out.
Yeah.
That's got to tell you something.
Well, I mean, look, they're just coming back from Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a fun trip going to Australia.
Right back to the television taping.
Yeah, back to the television taping.
They're in South Africa right now. They just went from Australia to South Africa, and then they're going to be back for Monday.
That is brutal.
That's a brutal schedule.
Oh, that's terrible.
I mean, we could get into that whole situation of whether there should be an off-season, whether there should be a rotating schedule or rotating roster.
Yeah, we kind of disagree on that one, but anyways, moving on.
Okay, I want to switch gears now for a second. It's not often a wrestler can change a persona quickly and completely rejuvenate his or her career. There has been exception to the rule recently, with R-Truth completing a full-fledged heel turn.
Yes, R-Truth.
Yeah, he's been very interesting, hasn't he?
Yeah.
On the April 18th edition of Monday Night Raw, R-Truth transitioned from being the guy who the crowd cheered to someone who the crowd boos. What makes this topic so interesting is how well the WWE has responded to R-Truth, giving him plenty of mic time and even pitting him in the main event at WWE's most recent pay-per-view, Capital Punishment against John Cena. Here is R-Truth on this week's Raw.
You see, yet the conspiracy launched against me is trying to find a way to keep me away from the WWE title. You see what I'm saying? But I got some good news and bad news for those who lead the conspiracy.
What's that?
The good news is I just saved 15% by switching over to Geico on my car insurance.
Oh, nice.
The bad news is the truth is going to hurt someone when I become number one contender. Tonight, someone's going to get got.
Fantastic stuff from R-Truth, don't you think?
I completely disagree with you on that.
Really? You don't like R-Truth?
I am not a fan of
this. I
got
to tell you, everybody, I am gone 180 degrees on R-Truth.
Really?
Man. I used to cringe whenever I used to see this fool come out dancing and joking and laughing with the crowd. Now that he's got this new character and this new persona where he's got, you know, it's a little bit comedic and it's a little bit, a little bit on the crazy side. And I think he plays it very well, and it's done.
It's
got him over with the crowd, and that's what's important.
Well, that's where I differ from you right there. You say, he instead of singing and dancing, he's coming out and acting crazy. I don't understand what he's saying. I don't get it.
But that's part of the fun of it.
But that's not fun to me. You're just insulting the crowd's intelligence by laying down these catchphrases that no one even gets. I mean, anyone can come up with a catchphrase that no one gets. That's not talent.
Which catchphrase are you referring to that nobody gets? You got God?
Yeah, you got God. What does that mean?
What does it mean? That's the whole thing, right?
But that's insulting. Like, you're saying this catchphrase week after week after week, and no one even knows what it means.
Okay, can you smell what the Rock is cooking?
What
the hell does that mean?
Well, it at least is proper English.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But again, that's part of the comedic part of his character.
Maybe I just have a dry sense of humor, but I'm not laughing at it.
I love the whole Little Jimmy's thing.
Do you?
It's great.
Mm, I totally disagree.
No, I love it.
What is Little Jimmy? Who is Little Jimmy?
Little Jimmies are the little, the little kids that are wearing the John Cena shirts in the crowd, and they're buying the programs.
So why is R-Truth so against 10-year-old kids?
It's part of his character. It's how he portrays himself as a heel, is by being against these little 10-year-old kids who used to love him, right? And used to love him coming out and singing and dancing and rapping.
The other part I don't like about this R-Truth heel turn is how he became a heel. The whole smoking and blowing smoke on John Morrison and, the water bottle incident. That's not, to me, a proper heel turn. That is...
So what would you rather see? Would you rather see him being like a tag match or something and then screw over his partner and that makes him a heel?
There's ways of deciding how to become a heel. I don't think smoking a cigarette on national television on a PG-rated show and then blowing it on another human being is a way to turn heel.
I think the way that he turned heel was very original.
Yeah.
The whole smoking the cigarette and drinking the water thing. It's something different than just, he just turned on this guy for no reason.
But how can you have, at a time when WWE is promoting their, it's a PG product and we're working with GLAAD and we're working with these different organizations, Make-A-Wish Foundation, we're trying to make all this good to the term wrestling.
Yeah, but Corey, they got to push the envelope for guys like you and me to keep us interested.
James, right? Smoking cigarettes isn't pushing the envelope for me.
It's not for us, but it is for them.
Yeah, maybe. Right? I mean, I guess we'll agree to disagree.
That's the only thing
The one thing I will give R-Truth credit for is he does have the look, he does have the physique, and he's very good in the ring. I think he needs to increase his wrestling. He needs to make his wrestling matches a little more exciting. They're pretty much the same every single match. I thought his match at Capital Punishment with John Cena was actually quite good.
Yeah, it was. I'll agree with you there.
Again, the biggest issue I have with this match is you're facing Cena, and it's a guaranteed victory for Cena.
Yeah.
So don't have a main event where you know who's winning. If you're going to have Cena and R-Truth feud, put it down a couple matches in the show so the people actually have a main event to look forward to. Because I'm sorry, but at no point did I think that that R-Truth was going to beat the man who's squaring off in the main event against The Rock at WrestleMania.
I mean, there's no way the WWE is going to put their title match early on in the card, unless it's WrestleMania 27. But but I mean, there's just, you know, and that's the big fault I think with announcing the whole Rock Cena match at next year's WrestleMania, mm-hmm. you know, 1 year in advance, and then having Cena come out the next week on Raw with the title. Or no, I don't think it was the next week. I think it was after the next pay-per-view whenever he'd won the title. But
I'm in favor of them announcing it a year before. I think that's really cool, and I'm glad they did that. But I don't like how they've brought the world title into the picture. They've essentially secured the champion for the next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no... I mean, it's highly implausible that John Cena is going to lose now, right?
Especially to R-Truth.
Yeah, and I mean, every match that you see John Cena going into, it's guaranteed. Yeah, it's guaranteed. You know Cena's going over.
Any title match, we've said it before and we'll say it again, any title match Cena's involved with from now until WrestleMania, he will not lose. And that I have a huge issue with. I don't have as much of an issue with it if R-Truth is wrestling Cena three matches before the main event. But if I know the outcome of the main event on a pay-per-view, why am I buying it?
Yeah. No, I agree with you there on that one. But again, WWE is never going to put their brand's belt, a match for their brand's belt, lower on the card than main event. It's just...
No, I understand. What about the other title? I mean, they could use the other world championship.
It's not as important to them as the WWE title, right?
Okay, switching gears one more time. James, the WWE has a knack for insulting their viewers.
God, do they ever.
And have done so again with Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
For the months leading up to WrestleMania 27, the crowd was forced to believe there was a legitimate hatred between the WWE's two most prominent commentators, culminating in a WrestleMania match between Cole and Lawler.
Yeah.
Post-WrestleMania, the storyline continued, ultimately coming to a halt in Seattle at WWE's Over the Limit pay-per-view. Now, after Cole was forced to kiss Jerry Lawler's foot in front of the world, the next night on Raw, Michael Cole ended the hatred between the two right then and there.
You know what? You're right. I don't deserve your attention. Because this isn't about me anymore. In fact, it never should have been about me. Jerry, I came out here tonight to put this all behind us. I came out here tonight to say I'm sorry, to apologize. To apologize to you. To apologize to you, Josh. To apologize to you, Justin Roberts, our ring announcer. To apologize to you, our timekeeper, Mark Yaton. In fact, I want to apologize to all of you here in Portland tonight. And I want to apologize to everyone watching at home.
So yes, James, Cole and Lawler essentially ending their storyline all in the middle of a 5-minute promo, and we go from Cole being in a glass cage next to Lawler to sitting right next to him, almost holding hands.
You weren't happy with the payoff in the pay-per-view, the pay-per-view the night before where Cole had to kiss his forehead?
No, I thought they ended it. That was a good way to end it.
I thought that was a good payoff way to end the feud.
It seems crazy that you can have this huge storyline that goes for months.
Yeah.
And then the next night, they're sitting beside each other, a team, you know, a duo once again.
No, I agree with you. That's the whole part that I'm kind of incredulous about. I mean, I like the payoff. I like how they ended the feud. I don't like how quickly they got back together and just started going seamlessly like nothing had ever happened. I mean, here you had Cole insulting Lawler's dead mother on national television and stuff like that. Like, these are pretty serious things, right?
And now it's like their best buddies.
I'm sorry. Let's just go back to the way it was. Okay. Come on, sit down. Here's your seat.
Yeah.
I kept it warm for you.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I disagree with putting them back together at the desk, because we all know that that was eventually going to happen.
I think they should have split up the announcing teams, maybe. Had Cole go over to SmackDown or vice versa, Lawler go over to SmackDown, and then just keep them separated for maybe a month or two.
A little while. Yeah. What I'm saying is there should have been a slow progression to get those two back together.
Yeah.
Not... You know, not just all of a sudden end it and now everyone is led to believe that
a 5-minute apology and everything's back to normal. Yeah, nothing
happened. That's a bit insulting.
Let's just forget the last 5 months of feud. And,
I don't like that at all.
No. No, they should have had something different. But
that's a bogey, WWE. All right, well, that was Tale of the Tape. Now's a good time to remind everyone that you can email us anytime before, during, and after the show at onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. And if it's any good, we'll put it on the air.
The poll question. Log on to Facebook.com/SmackTalkRadio and cast your vote.
Okay, since we're talking shoots and CM Punk, tonight's poll question is, does CM Punk's epic promo on Monday Night Raw make you excited enough to order and watch the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, even though you know that he's probably going to put John Cena over in the main event? Yes or no?
You can definitely vote Facebook.com/SmackTalkRadio. And James, I have to say, I am interested in the pay-per-view, but the one thing that deters me is that John Cena's in it.
Well, there's a lot of talk that it's going to be match of the year, so.
Really? Why do you think that? Because CM Punk and Cena all of a sudden have become the best wrestlers in the organization, or?
No, they both said that it's going to be the match of the year, too. That's...
Well, what about Cena and Rock?
Oh, I don't think it's going to be that good.
No?
I know. I'm starting to get a whole other opinion on Cena and Rock, and that could take a whole other show to go through. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I am looking forward to this match, but of course we know the outcome. So that's my biggest issue with this. Do I think that CM Punk is actually not going away? No, he's going away. So this is a goodbye match for CM Punk for a while. I think it will be a good match.
I think the match itself is going to be worth the money of the pay-per-view. That's all I'm saying.
If you weren't, you know, you and I as wrestling fans, but the casual audience, are you interested in ordering the pay-per-view?
I don't know. I can't answer for the casual audience fan. But
what about the rest of the pay-per-view, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view?
I think they should have saved Money in the Bank for WrestleMania, but, you know, I don't think they should have made a whole pay-per-view out of it, but...
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Coming up on the show, we're going to run down all the latest going around the Pacific Northwest in our local wrestling scene.
We're also going to run down the top 5 best shoot promos in wrestling history.
And our post-to-post report next.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
All right, James, the post-to-post report catching you up on the business of the business. Gotta like that name.
I do.
All right, let's get right into it. CM Punk, as much as we like to talk about him in the show, he actually did do something wrong this week.
We should just call this the CM Punk show.
Yeah, I mean, we may as well. At a non-televised WWE house show, which took place down under in Australia this week, a video was posted on TMZ.com of CM Punk mouthing off a fan outside the ring. Ooh. In an obvious in-character moment, CM Punk is recorded as saying to the fan, "You homo." Those were quotes. This comes at a time when the WWE was working with the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation organization, better known as GLAAD. With recent incidents, though, involving John Cena and Michael Cole, CM Punk can now be added to this list of offenders. WWE has been working in conjunction with GLAAD, even as going as far as producing a series of commercials which have aired on WWE shows to curb this type of behavior.
Oh, that's right, like the whole be a star, right? Tolerance and... Show tolerance and respect or something?
I can't remember. I fast forward that part. CM Punk was then posted on Twitter a short time later saying, quote, "I'm embarrassed. I own up to being a total douche in this situation, and I offer a sincere apology to anybody I hurt with careless words." In what's maybe more interesting of note, though, James, is the WWE's response to this situation, which was, quote, WWE does not condone this type of language or bias, and we reinforce that with our talent, who are independent contractors. Those last four words in that quote are the key.
Our talent, who are independent contractors.
Well, that would be five.
Okay. But
who are independent contractors would be four. That, to me, is mind-blowing. Because here you have a company, I mean, we've talked about the independent contractor thing before. Here you have a company who basically controls the lives of their wrestlers for 52 weeks. I mean, it's not like they can go work anywhere else.
No, not really.
They can't sit, they can't even be in the city that they want to be if they wanted to be.
Yeah.
And the WWE, at a, you know, when something goes wrong, they are independent contractors, and they separate themselves from those wrestlers.
Here's the thing that shocks me about this whole incident situation. I watched the video on TMZ, and you know, he calls these guys, he tells them that they have vaginas, but yet when he calls them a homo, all of a sudden the crap hits the fan. Yet there's no mention, or you know, there's no repercussions for, you know, telling these guys.
Well, that's because there's no organization against vaginas. I mean, what else is there? No, I know exactly what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying,
of course.
Right?
I don't like how these organizations even get involved in this sort of stuff. I think they should just... I mean, it's a show. The other thing that's worth mentioning about this is that it was a non-televised event.
Yeah, it's a house show,
This is
God
a house
sake.
Show where... And this video that was posted on the internet was, you know, from someone's cell phone.
So, yeah, someone's iPhone.
You know,
or
if someone was following me around with a cell phone, they could take almost everything I say and misconstrue it and post it on TMZ.
Oh, of course.
And I would be, you know... I would look terrible.
It's kind of hard to misconstrue you homo, though.
I know, but he's a wrestler who's supposed to be a heel, caught up in the moment. I mean, obviously, he didn't... I think even when you watch the video, you look at him as soon as he says it, and he realizes
he realizes he did something wrong, kind of like Booker T in that famous video.
I don't think the WWE is going to make a big issue about this, because they realize it was a non-televised event.
Plus, his contract's up on the 17th, too, and he's...
But again, you shouldn't be saying things like that anyways.
No.
Wrestlers shouldn't. But this is one of those times when he got caught up in the moment of being a heel and it slipped out. And for that, I'm going to forgive him.
Do you think that maybe he doesn't care because he knows his contract's coming
up
on the 17th?
No, I don't think anyone wants to be known on TMZ for, you know, slandering gay people. I don't think that's not a... Whether you're leaving the WWE or not.
I don't know. I just think it's totally blown out of proportion. Myself.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what these organizations do. Organizations like GLAAD.
Yeah.
You know, they hear one thing and they run with it.
This is just to get their name out there a little
exactly.
bit more.
Exactly.
Right?
It brings them publicity. Yeah. They eat this stuff up.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on a little bit here, folks. And the verdict is in on the cause of death for the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Go ahead.
The cause of death has been determined and released in regards to Randy Poffel, better known to the wrestling world as Randy the Macho Man Savage. He suffered a serious cardiac event moments before crashing his vehicle into a tree in Seminole, Florida on May 20th. Savage was then taken to the Largo Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead on arrival. An autopsy by the Pinellas Pasco Medical Examiner's Office revealed Savage had an enlarged heart with severe atherosclerosis, thank you, of his coronary arteries. He suffered only minor abrasions and bruising from the crash. So essentially it was... heart attack that did him in. The cause of death was determined to be the
atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease.
Thank you. The deadly cardiac event resulted from this condition.
Yeah, James, I actually looked into what atherosclerosis was just to find out exactly, you know, what that meant. Now, atherosclerosis is a condition in which fatty material collects along the walls of your arteries.
Ah, yes.
This fatty material thickens, hardens, forms calcium deposits, and may eventually block the arteries. Some of the risk factors for the condition are diabetes, heavy alcohol use, high blood pressure, high blood cholesterol levels, obesity, family history of heart disease, and smoking. It can also affect many different organ systems, including the heart, lungs, brains, intestines, kidneys, and limbs. So I'm going to go... I don't know for sure. None of us ultimately know for sure what was the contributing factor to him.
Is there any link between steroids and this cardiovascular disease?
It didn't say. I didn't see that. But, I mean, a family history of heart disease, that could play a part in this.
Mm.
But the main thing to note out of all of this is that it wasn't the car accident that killed Randy Savage. It was the moments prior to the car accident, which then contributed to him
you know,
so
slamming
his vehicle. So I guess he was actually dead before he hit, maybe?
I don't know if he was dead. I don't think he was dead. I think they rushed him to hospital where he was later pronounced dead. But this heart attack, even though heart attack's not the right word, but this heart attack ultimately led to him crashing his vehicle, which put him in critical condition, which brought him to the hospital, and they later pronounced him dead.
Yeah.
So that's the ending of the Macho Man saga, but it's now been official, and we can say rest in peace, Macho Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a recent interview with ZooToday.com, Kurt Angle stated that he is attempting to return to amateur wrestling at the 2012 London Summer Olympics. He plans to attempt to wrestle for the U.S. amateur wrestling team. Now, Angle last wrestled at the Olympics in 96, which took place in Atlanta, where he won the gold medal in the 100-kilogram weight class. Kurt, currently 42 years old.
42 years old. Wow. Can you imagine going back to the Olympics and trying it again almost 20 years later?
But why do I have this weird feeling that he'll actually do well?
Oh, because he's Kurt Angle? I don't know. We've all grown up with... with Kurt Angle, knowing that he's got just amazing technical skills, and it's...
Yeah, he's still as quick as any other wrestler out there.
Well, the question's going to be is if he can keep up with the young guys who are, you know, 20 years younger than him.
Do you think he can?
I don't see why not. He's got the experience. I mean, there's always that X factor. Experience is always that X factor when you're going into a situation like this, right? Mm. I mean, you can be the biggest, strongest guy, but if you don't have the experience... You're gonna get tooled 9 times out of 10.
One of the things about Kurt Angle that might be a little different from other wrestlers is that Kurt Angle is tough.
He's
legitimately tough.
He's very tough.
He can take on people. I mean, even in the same interview, he actually says that at one time he had negotiated a deal with the UFC to begin fighting in the UFC, but it all fell through due to timing and when he was going to start and all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, if a man can do that and really believes he can do it, and same with Dana White, I'm thinking he's going to do pretty well
amateur wrestling. I have a feeling that he would have cleaned up in the UFC. He would have done quite well.
Not only would he have cleaned up in the ring, I think he might have cleaned up in the bank account department as well.
Did you ever see when Daniel Pewter had that little kind of shoot match, and Daniel Pewter almost made him tap out. He got him in that key lock.
Yeah.
But he actually ended up rolling him over onto his back, and they kind of called the pin before Kurt tapped out.
That was kind of weird, remember?
Yeah.
That was the last we saw of Daniel Pewter, I think.
Yeah. Well, no, you might be right.
No, I'm pretty sure that was it. Yeah. That ended the whole thing.
Yeah. He won that tough enough too, though, didn't he?
Yeah. No, Pewter didn't. Oh, no, he did. No, he Daniel did. Pewter yeah, Daniel won. Pewter yes, didn't you're right. That no, tough sorry. Enough.
So maybe, we did see a little bit more after that, but he wasn't going anywhere after
Regardless,
that.
I'm very interested to see how this all pans out. I'm really hoping he is going to be in the 2012 London Olympics, because if so, wrestling just got a huge audience watching.
Oh, big time. Big time. Hey, good luck, Kurt. That's all I can say.
Now, moving on, switching gears once again, in a cash grab attempt by the folks over at TNA, a new wrestling venture known as All Wheels Wrestling taped a pilot episode June 29th within the TNA Impact Zone studios.
Interesting.
Using TNA commentators and talent, this television program will hope to combine the two interests of professional wrestling and automotive sports. 4 teams of wrestlers have been assembled to do battle for the All Wheels Wrestling Championship Cup, with the show using a weekly point system, which includes a season and a point season or postseason. The teams will compete in a final bracket-type tournament, with the winner taking the cup. The hope here, James, is that the Speed Network will pick up the series.
So I guess they're kind of marketing this towards like the southeastern United States.
Exactly.
Oh, you got auto racing and professional wrestling. I mean,
this has cheap cash grab. Give me one season.
Tennessee is going to eat this up.
12 episodes. Give Eric Bischoff or whoever's behind this.
Give someone a quick paycheck.
Exactly. This is never going to last. The longevity of this is one season at most. I'll be very surprised if this does get picked up. But... you can't blame them for trying.
Hey, I mean, yeah. I mean, they're trying new things.
I don't really know how you plan to incorporate automotive sports into a wrestling show.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Have you seen the cup that they're competing for, too? That looks kind of cheesy, don't you think?
Maybe they come out... maybe instead of, like, walking out of the entranceway, they drive out in a NASCAR.
And then they have a match in the cars.
And then they get out of the car, and then instead of ringing the bell, someone waves a checkered flag, and...
first power bomb onto the car hood wins.
I mean, there's a million jokes we could go with this. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to look, but they did tape their pilot episode June 29th, and the results are out there on the internet if you are interested in seeing it or reading it, sorry.
Well, you know, I'll check it out. I'll give it
a chance. Of course, every new product, you know, people I'll like to check out. But again, the longevity of this doesn't, it's not going to be a long-term thing. This is just a quick one season, give us our paycheck type deal.
Yeah. All right, moving on yet again. We're going to talk a little here, a bit here about Mr. Scott Hall, better known as Razor Ramon. So on Tuesday, Scott Hall, like I said, also known as Razor Ramon, checked himself into a Florida jail to begin his 10-day sentence stemming from a drunk arrest in 2010. The 52-year-old Hall was ordered to serve 10 days behind bars after he was found guilty of resisting arrest at a Florida bar back in May 2010. That must have been an interesting situation. Hall had allegedly been drunkenly screaming at patrons. This gets even better.
Hey, yo.
It's survey time. Hall's rep was quoted as saying that the wrestler will be staying in the medical unit of the Seminole County Jail because of his, quote, bad health. Hall had already been credited with time served, and he should be out of the slammer in about 8 days.
Now, the main point that I, when I read this, that I wanted to bring up was he's going to be staying in the medical unit of the jail because of his bad health. I don't know if you've seen this video out there on YouTube of Scott Hall making an appearance at an indie show recently.
No.
He walks out with a cane, and he's like in very bad shape.
What?
Very bad shape.
I'll have to look this
up.
Can
barely walk.
Yeah, after the show, I'm going to look this up.
His health is extremely bad, and I believe Kevin Nash has actually told people as well that Scott Hall is in rough shape physically. I don't know if it's from a stroke or if it's from something else, but alcohol. He doesn't look good.
It's got to be from the alcohol.
I'm sure. I'm sure years of partying does that. You know, I'm sure a lot of my buddies will be looking like
that. I think the whole Scott Hall thing is a deeper story than what a lot of people let on to. At least if, you know, if what I'm hearing from guys like Kevin Nash and what is true. The whole thing with Scott Hall is a big, deep
down the road. Mess the of, real story will come out.
Yeah, I think so.
And there is. There's some dark demons
but
that have happened.
You know what? The unfortunate part about that is it probably won't come out until after he's dead.
It's true.
And it's sad.
It is sad. You know? But main point being that when you're going to jail and when you have to stay in the medical unit, there's got to be a reason for it, and that's not a good thing. But, you know, he's going to jail, so how sorry can we feel for the guy? Moving on, James. Every week, we always get to the WWE financials.
Oh, I like this part.
Now, currently, the WWE stock price, as of today, was $9.93 a share.
So it's slowly climbing back up there. I mean, it's nowhere near the $14 that it was before WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. But
okay, let me ask you a question. You got all of a sudden in your pocket, you got $3,000 just out of nowhere, inheritance, you know, bonus from work, however. Would you ever take that $3,000 and invest it in the stock of the WWE?
You know, that's a really good question. How do I answer that? In the time given. No, I think I would. I think I would put it... I don't think I'd invest the whole $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably invest maybe half.
But do you actually think 2 or 3 years from now that stock will actually rise from $9.93?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What gives you that impression that it will? Especially considering the 52-week trend where it's steadily declined.
I think it's only declined after the last 5 months or something like that, isn't it?
Okay, well,
the previous to the 5 months, it was actually going up quite a bit.
But unfortunately, so that doesn't matter anymore. The most recent 5 months are more important than the 5 months before.
I know, but that just goes to show that it goes up and down, right? So you can't. There's no real safe way to predict it.
There isn't, just like the stock market.
No, just
in general.
Like the, yeah.
But my question is what would make you think that the stock will rise?
What would make me think that the stock would rise? Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe if they get a new creative team, maybe if they start churning out some new ideas. I mean, that's generally how companies make their stock prices rise anyways, by trying new things, you know, incorporating new ideas, new products, stuff like that, right? And I mean, that's why the WWE is always trying to do stuff like that, stuff like Tough Enough, stuff like NXT, right? They're always trying to expand, you know, it's all about that stock price. It's all about that making the shareholders happy at the end of the day.
The one X factor for me, in fact, I would buy WWE stock if I had a very good sense that the WWE cable network was launching.
That's a good one. Yes, thank you. That's one that I never...
Yeah, because that is definitely going to be a stock riser if that ever happens.
Yeah.
So, a current stock price of $9.93 a share on a potential television network being launched, that seems like a pretty safe gamble. Or not a safe gamble, but that seems like a pretty good gamble to take if you have money to spare.
Yeah.
Now, this week's episode, the July 4th episode of WWE Monday Night Raw, in terms of ratings, it scored a 2.40 rating, which is down 24% to last week's 3.13 rating.
Wow.
Typically, that's a scary number. And the other thing is the show averaged 3.7 million viewers, down from the 4.9 the week prior. So typically, you see numbers drop like that. Everyone's freaking out. But...
do you know why the numbers drop like that? I can tell you right now why the numbers drop like that.
Well, I know why, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, because they filmed the shows back-to-back, the same location.
Yeah.
And everybody just read the spoilers. And the people who read the spoilers didn't bother watching the show. And that's why the numbers are down like they are.
Possibly. The experts say it was because it was July 4th on Monday, and everyone was out probably partying.
The hell do the experts know? This is Smack Talk Radio Live, and we are the source.
This was the first time Raw actually averaged fewer than 4 million viewers since September 27, 2009, when they went up against NFL Monday Night Football. But the lower viewership, again, that's what they're saying. It's that it was a holiday in the U.S., and most people were out celebrating.
Yeah.
So it's a interesting scenario. I don't think we should look too much into these ratings this week. I would think we would look at a growing trend, you know, from
yeah.
weeks ahead.
Yeah. So.
All right, James.
Well, we're going to take another break here, folks.
Coming up on the show, we're going to run down all the latest going down in the Pacific Northwest in our local wrestling scene.
We're also got the top five with the wrestling shoot promos.
This is Smack Talk Radio Live.
The local wrestling scene, bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
All right, James. The local wrestling scene, running down the latest and greatest in the Pacific Northwest.
I love this segment.
Why? Why do you like that so much?
I love talking about local indie promotions.
It's a nice change from WWE.
It is. That's I think what it is. It's a change from the glitz and the glamour of the big, you know, well-oiled machines, right?
Well, let's talk about the organization that we seem to always start it off with, ECCW, Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling, website www.eccw.com. They recently had two shows back-to-back on a Friday
and a Saturday. I went to one of them.
You went to the one Circle of Fear.
Friday. That was the Friday night, yeah, at Bridgeview Hall out in Surrey, British Columbia. It was actually a really good show. It was the, they had like big planks with barbed wire and stuff, and it was
so explain what the Circle of Fear was.
Okay, essentially what the Circle of Fear is inside the ring is in each corner they had a plywood plank that had a whole bunch of barbed wire wrapped around it, and it's just a gimmick for a hardcore match essentially, but it actually turned out pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ravenous Randy and Moondog Manson in that hardcore match.
Well, let's just quickly run down the results from that show. It started out, Artemis Spencer was unable to compete due to injuries suffered in the Pacific Cup, which Rick, formerly known as Rick the Weapon X, ended up winning.
Yep.
So congratulations to him. Alex Plexus at that point challenged, who was you know, Spencer's opponent. He challenged anyone, and Pete Powers ended up taking the challenge.
Yeah, so the first match was Pete Powers versus Alex Plexus. And, Pete Powers wins the match after pinning Plexus with a devastating body slam.
Brony actually hit the ring after that and choked out Powers with a rope.
Oh, that's right. He came running out at the end, choked him out with the rope, and that kind of sets them up for the Texas Bull Rope Show, which is, I think, at the end of July out in Surrey.
Yes, next month in Surrey.
No, it's this month, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. It's at the end of this month, I think.
Yes, that's right. At that point, it was then Cremator versus Apollo Dean, and not only did Cremator win, but he carried him out in a body bag.
You know what? I got a good laugh out of that because I remember back in the day when The Undertaker, when he used to beat people, he'd drag them out in a body bag. And I remember watching one show with my little sister, right? And I remember telling her, oh, yeah, he just killed that guy. So now he's going to take his body out of there. And she's like, what? Why would anybody ever want to wrestle The Undertaker? And I go, well, think of the glory if you win, right?
I have to say the Cremator is probably more scary than The Undertaker. Like, in terms of look. He is one scary-looking dude.
Yeah, he's got that apron on. He's got that butcher apron,
the mask, the paint, the hair, everything.
It's kind of like a mix between Kane and Undertaker's characters, isn't it?
At the Circle of Fear show, I saw a little girl with her dad, and she had to leave because she was so scared of him.
I'm not even making that up. You know you're doing something right with your gimmick when that happens. Mm-hmm. So
we then had an ECCW Supergirls match, and it was Casey Spinelli pinning Taya Valkyrie to win the triple threat match, which included Veronica Vice.
That's right. It was an all right
good
match.
Yeah, I didn't happen to see that one, so I can't comment on that one. But after the match, Nicole attacked Casey and demanded that Ray Brooke attack Casey as well. Ray refused, and Nicole actually kicked Ray in the groin.
Yeah, they're doing this kind of angle where Nicole Matthews, who's a heel, is... She's kind of paired up with Ray Brooks, who's a face, right? And he's kind of reluctantly paired up with her. I haven't been paying attention that closely. I don't know what the reason's for, but it's an angle that they're doing.
Okay.
Where they've got the face with the heel woman.
At this point, it then brought us to a tag team match, which was Scotty Mac and Dropkick Murphy defeating Jordy Taylor and Ray Brooks. And Scotty hit the amazing super kick on Taylor.
Oh, yeah, no, that was actually one of the better matches of the night, that one.
Yeah.
So, no, Scotty Mac's a solid performer. Mm-hmm. Every match that he comes out with
is
generally...
It's nice to see Dropkick back as well. You don't see him all the time,
no.
But he makes his occasional appearance. But I actually haven't seen him wrestle for a while, so it was actually good to see.
Yeah.
Stalin Smith and Sid Sylum battled to a no contest when the Natural Selection hit the ring.
I don't remember that one.
No?
No.
I actually didn't see that
one. I must have been not in the washroom or something, but...
Let's see here. We then had Jason Sullivan take on Cole Bishop. Jason Sullivan picks up the victory.
Yeah, I think that was a really quick match, that one.
Jamie Diaz ended up pinning Azul Angel with an outstanding top rope scissor kick.
This match, folks, Jamie Diaz, Azul Angel, this was the match of the night by far.
I actually thought Jamie Diaz did very well in this match.
Jamie Diaz is very solid, folks. If you ever get the chance to come out to an ECCW show, check out Jamie Diaz.
Very technically sound.
Very technically sound. He's got a good character. He's got the look.
Yeah.
And that for sure, that was match of the night.
Now, in the main event, which is what you had touched on briefly, Moondog Manson defeated Ravenous Randy in a
Ravenous Randy. Yeah.
I could go either way. In a bloody barbed wire match, and he regained the ECCW hardcore title.
Yeah. My only qualm with this match was you could easily pick out when the guys were bleeding. I mean, it was... That just kind of ruins it, don't you think so?
Yeah, no, that would be my biggest complaint as well. I definitely noticed that. Like, and in fact, I heard a couple people comment on that.
Like, for example, when Moondog bladed, he was lying down to the left side of the ring, and he's got his hands over his head, and he goes and blades. And I'm looking specifically in the front row, and there's a guy pointing out to his little son, like, look what he's doing. He's blading, right? Like,
yeah, that was definitely the point for me where I was like, okay, this match could have been better.
Yeah.
Because, again, I understand you need to blade, or you know, especially in a hardcore title match, but you need to pick your moments as to when you do it. If at the moment you're attempting to do it, if it's not working, don't do it.
Yeah, no, it's got to be when you're in a position like...
Wait 2 minutes later and
personally,
then do it.
Personally, I think the best place to blade is if you're going to... If you roll out of... You take a maneuver, you roll out of the ring, and your face is facing the apron.
Yes,
right?
I agree.
Your back is to the crowd. Nobody can see what the hell is going on. That's the point when you should blade.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly what I was going to say as well. The best part about this match, though, was the gimmick. I did like the fact that...
No, it was cool. The barbed wire was definitely cool.
They had four tables in each corner of the ring with barbed wire. You don't see it. It was, you know...
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from the match or the competitors themselves. No. I mean, it was great. I mean, I went there and I was entertained, mm-hmm. and that's what you want at the end of the day, right?
ECCW has done a very good job lately.
Fantastic.
Of coming up with gimmick matches. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got the Chamber of Extreme, you got the Circle of Fear. Those are two that were
those
really
are really good.
Yeah. So that was ECCW Circle of Fear. Now, the next night, as we had said, they actually were out in Abbotsford, and the main event on this one was Scotty Mack versus
Danny Deeds.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which is, you know,
I didn't get a chance to be at that one.
I didn't either. So I'm just going to quickly run down the results. Right. Now, one note, the opening match, Red Money pinning Nick Price.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
Those are two guys that I really like, and I'm going to go on the line here and say that they're on the way up. Mm-hmm. So, again, if you ever get a chance to go out and see ECCW, check out Red Money, check out Nick Price. These are two young guys who are hungry, they want to get to the top, and they're really good. Mm-hmm. They've got good characters. They don't really showcase their mic skills all that much in ECCW, mm-hmm. but their technical skills are sound, and yeah, check them out.
J.R. Daniels defeated an injured Apollo Dean. Cremator attacked J.R. Daniels and saved Apollo. This is the night after he took him out in a body bag.
Boy, I wish I'd been there to see this, to kind of explain it a little bit more. You know, there's no justice when you're just reading results, but...
I know. The Natural Selection, Pete Powers and Stalin Smith defeated the team of Ray Brooks and Jordy Taylor. Sid Sylum pinned Cremator. J.R. Daniels chained Rigor Von Slasher around the arena, which distracted Cremator. In the next match, Tony Baroni decked the Natural and then pinned Bishop to retain the Canadian heavyweight title. And the Bollywood Lions defeated the team of Jamie Diaz and Chuck Awesome Sauce
ECCW tag team titles. I'm telling you. I know I've said this twice, but here's the third time. Check out Chuck Awesome Sauce, man. If there's a gimmick that will make you laugh your socks off, it's this guy, man. He plays it so well.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
And then in the main event, as I said before, Scotty Mack ended up pinning Danny Deeds on a barbed wire board. Scotty tried to powerbomb Enid Urquhart, who has a relationship going with Danny Deeds, I believe, or they're together in wrestling anyways, but the Sauce and Diaz ran in for the save, so he actually didn't powerbomb Enid, but I guess he came close.
So I guess Diaz running in for the save kind of sets up the whole Scotty Mack, Jamie Diaz match for Return to Poco,
yes.
Which we're going to go over.
So we'll go over that in a second.
Okay.
Or we could go over it now. I was going to get to the ASW.
Well, let's go over Return to Poco. We'll get ECCW out of the way, then we'll go over
so
ASW.
ECCW is returning to Port Coquitlam July 9th at High Creek Rec Center. And again, you can get tickets at ECCW.com. Now, they haven't got a lot of matches announced for this event so far, but right now they have a rematch, Nick Price versus Red Money again.
Oh, there you go. Get there for that match, mm-hmm. people.
They're going to have a Supergirls Championship triple threat match, Nicole Matthews versus Veronica Vice versus Casey Spinelli. And Rick versus Brilliant Billy Suede, which should be an excellent match. And again, in the main event, Scotty Mack versus Jamie Diaz.
That should be a good one.
Mm-hmm. All right, ASW, All-Star Wrestling.
Switching gears to the other indie promotion in Vancouver.
Saturday, July 16th at the Hope and District Arena in Hope. It is the Battle Royal.
Yeah, looks like we're scanning over the card here. Looks like we have a 10-man over-the-top Battle Royal.
It looks like there's going to be 10 wrestlers in the ring at the same time, over 2,000 pounds in one ring. These men will be fighting it out for honor, respect, and bragging rights. The ultimate prize is that the winner will receive a shot at the ASW Trans-Canada Heavyweight title held by Mr. Beefy Goodness, Vance Nevada, next time in Hope.
Oh, you know what? I think we're reading this backwards. I think that's the main event.
I think it is, too. Well, you can't go wrong with the Battle Royal, though.
No.
Not at all.
Battle Royals are always fun. Yeah. Battle Royals always draw people.
Mm-hmm. We're also going to see the Great Kisaki versus Adam Ryder, who is the ASW Cruiserweight Champion. That's going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match. That should be an interesting match.
You don't see that very much anymore. You don't see very many 2 out of 3 falls matches anymore.
And then you then see the Veteran versus the Young Lion, Gorgeous Michelle Starr versus Kyle Sebastian.
Can't say this Kyle Sebastian guy's really floated my boat or impressed me in any way, shape, or form. But
Gorgeous Michelle Starr has definitely floated your boat.
don't even get me started on Gorgeous
and
Michelle
Starr. And with the ladies wrestling in the night, it's Raven Lake versus the Wasp Bet. And then we got some preliminary matches with Lumberjack Bubba versus Disco Fury and Bruiser Joe versus Mad Dog Marty Sugar.
Should be good.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually looking forward to all these events. Again, if you want to check out ASW, you can do so at aswcanada.com. And that event, again, is Saturday, July 16th in 2011, of course. And, yeah, should be good. Folks, we are going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to do tonight's top five. And the topic for tonight's top five, James?
Best wrestling shoots in wrestling history.
This is Smack Talk Radio Live.
Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Funk Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live. Helping you remember what most of us couldn't. Tonight's top five.
All right, everyone, welcome to the fun segment of our show. We like to call it Tonight's Top Five. And on tonight's top five, we're going to do the best wrestling shoot promos. Worked or real?
It should be very, very interesting.
I think so. Let's kick it off with number five. Joey Styles shoots on the WWE. This happened on Monday Night Raw way back on May 1st, 2006. Now, after being belittled and humiliated on national television by Jerry Lawler, Joey Styles quit the WWE after cutting a scathing worked shoot promo where he blasted the WWE and Vince McMahon for calling the wrestlers superstars and cutting him from commentating the Backlash pay-per-view for not being, quote, a sports entertainment storyteller. But at the moment, Styles continually works for the WWE as a director of digital media content. He kind of runs WWE.com, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He's in charge of WWE.com and the content on there. And to me, that's just another example of, even though these are considered shoot promos, There's people are aware that they're gonna happen. It's almost like they just give them a window of 5 minutes and say, "Go out there and you're gonna do a shoot promo, and no matter what you say, you're not gonna get fired." You know what I mean? Like, that's
because he still has
a job.
It depends. I mean, they can take it too far, like accusing them of smoking crack and raping a 13-year-old girl. Or
it's an inside joke of a video we watched earlier today.
Way to go, Doug Gilbert.
Number four on the top five, Paul Heyman shoots on Vince McMahon. This was on SmackDown in November of 2001. On an episode of SmackDown in November, just before the invasion angle culminated at Survivor Series, Paul Heyman, who was the kayfabe owner of the ECW faction at the time, ripped a strip off Vinnie Mac in yet another scathing worked shoot promo on national television. Highlights included Heyman screaming in McMahon's face that he disgraced his father's legacy and accusing him of stealing his ideas to usher in the Attitude Era.
Yeah, this was kind of like the clip that we played off the very top of the show. I don't know if you guys remember or not, but it came from this tirade that Paul Heyman, you could really tell that he was waiting for this opportunity to just be able to say what he had on his chest to Vince McMahon and have no repercussions for
it. And he made the most of it.
Oh, he did. I mean, if there's anybody who's going to make the most out of a situation like that, it's going to be Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance, I mean, punch into YouTube, Paul Heyman, and shoot, and you'll just get some of the most amazing stuff you'll ever see. I mean, this guy, I mean, he knew, you know, when he wants to say something, he'll say it.
And kudos to Vince for taking it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that just goes to show what kind of a thick skin that Vince has and what he's willing to do for his company. But let's move on to number three, where Shane Douglas shoots on the NWA and creates the ECW. And this happened way back on August 27th, 1994. Now, this was an actual real shoot. This wasn't a work shoot. So this was, and this is something that only him, Paul Heyman, and Todd, a guy named Todd Gordon, knew about. Shane Douglas won a tournament, and he became the NWA World Heavyweight Champion in the summer of 94, only to literally throw the title on the ground, again, going back to what I was mentioning before, proclaiming that he did not want to be the champion of a dead promotion. He then cut an amazing promo referring to past NWA champions and declaring himself the franchise. And in the furor that followed, Eastern Championship Wrestling changed its name to Extreme Championship Wrestling, and the original ECW was then born.
Now, was the ECW on TV at this time or no?
They were, but it was only local TV deals. Kind of like what you saw with the ECW having that deal with KVOS back in the day, you know what I mean?
So what was Shane Douglas's standing with the NWA after that happened? Was he pretty much
outcasted? He was completely blacklisted. Yeah. I mean,
I was never a big Shane Douglas fan. I don't know why.
No?
No. Something about him rubbed me the wrong way. Maybe, you know.
Well, you know what? Like or hate the guy, he was part of one of the most infamous shoot promos in wrestling history. I mean, this created ECW.
I don't think you should ever treat an organization like that. If you're going to be on their show and if you're not happy, then don't be on the show. You don't need to come out on their show and disgrace their title like that.
Well, I don't know. This was an idea that him and Paul Heyman and, like I said, this other guy named Todd Gordon all came up with. And only the three of them knew it. And that's why it was such a big shock to everybody, because nobody knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Again, it was a real shoot, not a work shoot.
Okay. Number two on the top five, Steve Austin shoots on WCW. This was in 1995. After being generally underutilized in WCW, Steve Austin joined ECW after being fired due to a triceps injury by Eric Bischoff over the phone. Now, while recovering from his injury, Austin would use this opportunity to develop his future Stone Cold persona by filming a series of shoot vignettes chastising his former employees by intimidating the voices of Dusty Rhodes and Bischoff, claiming they promised him pushes and programs that never materialized.
Yeah, and that will bring us to our number one spot.
And let me tell you who doesn't give a shit about this company. That goddamn politician Hulk Hogan. Because let me tell you people what happened out here in this ring tonight. All day long I'm playing politics with Hulk Hogan. Because Hulk Hogan tonight wants to play his creative control card. And to Hulk Hogan, that meant that tonight in the middle of this ring, when he knew it was bullshit, he beats Jeff Jarrett. Well, guess what? Hogan got his wish. Hogan got his belt and he went the hell home, and I promise everybody or else I'll go in the goddamn grave, you will never see that piece of shit again.
Well, there you go, folks. That just goes to show you how crazy Vince Russo is. Yes, number one, Vince Russo shoots on Hulk Hogan. This happened at the infamous, and I mean infamous, Bash at the Beach way back on July 9th, 2000. In what was one of the most, like I said, infamous work shoots that actually turned real, Vince Russo, who was the head writer and booker for the promotion at the time, fired Hogan in what you saw was a profanity-laced diatribe live on pay-per-view after having Jeff Jarrett lie down to lose the title. Hogan would then later file a defamation suit, actually, against Russo, but it was thrown out of court back in 2003. Initially, it was just supposed to be an angle, but Russo later claimed he was forced into firing Hogan by Turner executive Brad Siegel, because it was costing the WCW just too much money to have Hogan keep appearing on their television shows.
This was right at the time when the WCW was everywhere.
It was on its way out. WCW at this point had about another 5 months, I think, to live.
The backstage politics in WCW at this time were off the charts.
It was just an absolute mess.
This just sealed it.
Yeah.
It sealed the envelope for what was happening behind the scenes at WCW, which ultimately led to their downfall.
This whole incident right here just goes to show you what was really wrong with the company back then in the final days before it was about to die and be bought up by Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
But I mean, it also shows what kind of guy Vince Russo is. Like, don't get me started on him, because, you know, I'm not going to go off on a diatribe about Vince. But I am not a Vince Russo fan, folks. I think the stuff that he comes up with is not right. It's garbage. But
so when you listen to this, or when you watch this shoot promo from Vince Russo where he essentially fires Hulk Hogan, my biggest wow factor with this whole thing is how do those two work together?
Yeah,
now
I know. They're
TNA.
Working in TNA together now. It's just they must have come to they must have made peace with themselves, or I don't know. They have to have come to some kind of arrangement.
It's crazy. It is.
It's weird.
You watch what Russo says about Hogan in that promo. I don't know how anyone can forgive the guy for that. I mean, if I was Hogan, I would have punched his lights out for sure.
Oh, I mean, he filed suit against him in court. That goes to show you, like.
Yeah, which I'm assuming has to do with the whole creative control clause in the contract. I'm not entirely too sure, but that's what I would assume the lawsuit has to do with. I mean, because he does have Hogan.
It was a defamation lawsuit.
Defamation.
It got thrown out of court because the judge ruled it groundless and baseless because it was essentially a wrestling storyline. So
I see.
So he essentially threw it out of.
It's a instance where they take it too seriously, do they?
Yeah. So, okay, now that we've gone over the top five, let's just quickly hit up the poll question results here. And again, the poll question was, does CM Punk's epic promo on Monday Night Raw make you excited enough to buy the Money in the Bank pay-per-view? And it looks like 62% of you said yes, it makes you excited enough to buy the pay-per-view.
That's an interesting number.
Hey, that's good for the WWE. Pay-per-view is where they make the most money.
So Money in the Bank is upcoming. And on next week's show, we're going to take a closer look at the upcoming WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And of course, James, we're going to dissect the latest with the CM Punk, Cena, McMahon situation. How do you think it's going to go next week?
I don't know. I can only wait to find out.
Now, we're also going to bring you a special report on the relationship between the WWE and the cities within the United States in regards to tax credits.
Yeah, this will be interesting.
This
people.
Is kind of an interesting scenario because the WWE holds a special interest for cities across the U.S. in terms of economic impact. And as a result, if the WWE doesn't get the tax incentives from the cities that they desire, they simply boycott that city until they're forced to give in to the WWE demands. We're going to dive into that a little deeper.
We're also going to go over ECCW's return to Porcoquitlam. We'll bring you up to date with the results on that and maybe even the ASW Battle Royal and Hope.
Folks, that was Smack Talk Radio Live, back from a hiatus. Happy to be back. We'll see you next week.
Great to be back.
Smack Talk Radio Live.
Touch the flame.